Back in action, podcast time.
We were just doing a little test on our microphone, and we were cracking up at ourselves, and Natalie goes, why do we get such a kick out of ourselves?
It's really funny that we decided to create a podcast where really all we do is enjoy ourselves and laugh at ourselves.
And we hope you enjoy us, too. Also, but you know what's so funny? I've been listening back to our podcast since I've been up here in Connecticut, and I miss you, and
yep.
I'm away from you for weeks on end, and it hurts my heart. So what I've been doing as part of my morning routine is I just go for a run because there's so much nature. Like, and I wake up in the morning, and I just want to be surrounded by the trees, and I listen to our voices. Mm. And I've been learning a lot by listening to our podcast.
Well, it's so funny, but it is very true that often when we're podcasting or teaching... Yeah. And someone will say, hey, can you repeat that? And we're like, no, I have no idea what just happened.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as it comes out of our mouths, it's gone. So it is a good idea to go back.
And listen. Well, I know that you're such a deep channel. And, I mean, there are many times just in life where you're talking to me, and I'm like, well, do you know what you just said out of your mouth? Do you know what you just said? Like, I'm like, I just want to repeat that back. Or sometimes you'll be talking to me, and I feel like it's... the universe talking directly through you to me.
I feel that all the time with you as well. I always feel like, oh, she's so open that that's where the message is coming through. And I always feel like messages come through the voice that you can hear at most.
Yeah.
Or the voices we think we can hear at least. Which actually brings us to what our podcast is about.
Our topic today.
That's our topic today. Who knew?
Who knew? Speaking of...
I love a good segue.
You're very good at them. So our topic today is... Are you ready? Natalie's just going to giggle for a while. Here it is. It's, boo, you're my guru.
You can't imagine the joy that filled my heart when we were talking about potential podcast topics and Kristen came out with that one out of her mouth. I was like, whatever channel you're listening to, I need to get on. Mine sounds much more like Ram Dass.
Sometimes my channel does have a hip-hop player.
It's like sometimes Kristen and I, we love to go to Agape Spiritual Center, and we love when they have the choir there, and all of, like, the biggest, you know, that old, like, spiritual, deep sound of voice that we just do not have in our bodies, but sometimes when we sing, we will try to emulate that.
That's exactly right. We're like, it just brings us so much joy to pretend like we're big gospel singers, but we are not. So this topic comes out of, seeing your romantic partner as your guru. And it's so funny, earlier today we were talking and you know how they have that saying, if there's one prayer you ever have, may it be thank you. And we were talking about if there's one prayer you ever say, may it be, may I not project my unhealed childhood wounds upon my partner.
And when they do it to me, may I understand and have compassion.
Yes, exactly. So that's why today's topic is, boo, you're my guru.
Ooh, you can't get out now. You're already listening.
You're already listening.
You might as well go in.
You might as well see what happens. So, you know, there is this idea of sacred contracts, right? Which is the idea that before you came to the planet, you made agreements with other souls on what your role would be. So I like to think sometime... of my romantic partner being up in the cosmos with me and me saying, hey, I really want to work on this.
Mm.
This is what I really, like, this place in me is what I most want to heal and what I most want to give to the world. So I think it starts with, this is the gift I want to give to the world. This is what I want to really be a lighthouse for in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to really know that, I have to really understand the opposite of it. So in my childhood, I'm going to be deeply wounded in this way and then go through the maturation process of healing this within me so that then I can bring forth the truth. And if you want to play this game with me, would it be so fun, if we could sign up and help each other, through this learning process, right? So can you mirror, what I most need to learn in this? And what often happens with romantic partners, I think, is we have these, wounds that are the direct opposite of each other, mm-hmm. right? And we're like the perfect lock and key to find out what we really need to know through the process of that special relationship. Mm. I say special relationship, which is interesting because that's what, you know, the Course in Miracles will talk about with romantic partners, that, you know, moving from a special relationship into a holy relationship. And the process through which we go being in a special relationship to a holy relationship is by giving it over to Spirit. Mm. So it's coming into your romantic partnerships going, well, yeah, they're going to trigger me. Mm. They're supposed to. Oh, yeah, they're going to bring up all that stuff in me I don't want to look at. Mm. They're supposed to. They're doing its job. And I always feel like the more activation, like the more sexual activation, the more attraction there is with a person.
Chemistry.
The most chemistry. You know, there's actually a line in this play where one of the characters says, avoid chemistry.
Right.
But actually, I think chemistry is given by the universe so that you will go there. Because... Yes. And the only reason you would ever stay with something that triggers you so much is if the chemistry and the activation was so great, there is a motivating reason to stay there.
Yeah.
So that you work on the stuff that Spirit wants you to work on. Otherwise, most of us would like...
Peace out
and hitch a ride out of Dodge.
Yeah.
I think, though, what can happen in our cultural stories is when we start to feel all this pain that can come up when the wound is activated, is we can get into the story of, this is their fault, they're doing this, what a jerk face.
Why can't they change? Why can't they be better? If they loved me enough, they wouldn't treat me this way. Yeah, it's very, very easy to go into the story and focus of the other.
Yes.
And that's actually where... 90% or more of our false perception comes out of, because we're so busy looking outside of ourselves. We're so busy looking outside to see what's wrong, what needs fixing, what needs correcting. And we are so trained to look at the outer world as the thing that's victimizing us. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, in quantum physics, they say we want to move from a cause and effect relationship with the universe into being the causer of the effects we see in the universe.
That's right.
And the only way that we can do that is to actually understand the nature of ourselves as the causer, not as the person or the thing being affected always by something else. So I do think the trap with our romantic partners is, you know, everyone meets and everyone's on their best behavior. it's kind of the same thing that Louise Hay describes as when you're first on a spiritual path and you mm-hmm. get all the parking spots and all the like
green lights.
Manifestations and green lights happen right away. You're like, wow, this spirituality stuff really works. I'm sticking with this. And then over time you start getting into the real stuff of it, right? So there's that kind of, what do they call it? The butterfly stage?
Honeymoon period.
The honeymoon period. But it's really what it is my persona of my best self, the person I want you to think I am, is what I'm going to present to you, and you're going to do the same. And then those two entities are going to say, yes, those are connected to each other. There was actually this really interesting thing that Rob Bell and mm-hmm. Pete Rollins was talking about on their podcast.
I was just, that same thing came in.
Yes.
What you don't, I'm, yes.
Yes, when you go onto like a dating website and you're basically putting in like all your best attributes, and then you're trying to attract someone that likes all the same things as you and fits all the same things as you, but then ultimately all you attract is the best 3-month relationship possible. But really what you want to look for is, hey, this is who I really am, and have someone say, oh, hey, I'm down with that. Oh, hey, I'll show up for that because here's who I really am too. And there's something about the acceptance of the mess, the acceptance of the wounds, the acceptance of the scars, of saying, you know, I'm not here to be a perfect person falling in love with another perfect person. I'm here to give you, it's like they say in the podcast, love is giving someone what they do not want who doesn't want it.
Yeah, was it love is giving what you don't want to give.
What you don't want to give someone who doesn't want to get it.
Get it. Yes, yeah, that's exactly right. As opposed, like, so like when I fall deeply in love with you, I don't want to give you all of my hurt and my mess and all of the ways that I am flawed, and you don't want to get it.
That's right. I was like, I got my own. I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what love is being able to like have the eyes of, no, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
And I think that really, whatever our sacred wounds are, mm-hmm. we all have them. We all have them from the time we were little tiny babies. whatever those sacred wounds are, ultimately the wound will always come down to the same thing. Am I lovable? Mm-hmm. Am I allowed to just mm-hmm. be this little mess of a person? And do you still love me? Now, the truth is yes. The truth is that when we came here as little babies, yes, absolutely, we were adorable, but we were like doing everything wrong. Mm-hmm. We needed constant attention. Everything was about us. We, you know, did whatever we wanted when we wanted it. And people's lives had to revolve around making us okay, yeah. keeping us alive. And so, yes, just by being who we were in our most imperfect form, we were the most loved. And it's only as we grow up in conditioning that we're told that we have to be better and perfect and appropriate and nice girls and boys that we start to feel, if I'm not those things, then I won't be worthy of being loved. So we try to go around the world presenting this sort of highlight reel version of ourselves, the Facebook version of ourselves to the world. And it's impossible to attract an authentic relationship, and it's impossible to attract the most healing relationship, because the guru that is our romantic partner must come to us from the place of their deep wound meeting the place of our deep wound. And it will look opposite. And we will want to say, oh, you're just like my mother, or you're just like my father, or why did I attract this, or whatever that story is we want to create around it.
Or, I really need to heal this in order to have the right relationship I think I need to have. Right. I need to get this thing
dealt with and done,
as opposed to, oh, this is it's a gift. It's a lifelong gift that I have the opportunity to work on this within, because everything is going to take us back to within ourselves.
Mm.
So the ego will want us to take it out into the world and like always want us to like, right, try to change our partner. And it always, and really what is the truth is, may I come back to myself? Mm. May I come back to myself? Can I come back to what the projection screen is only going out because I don't want to look within.
Mm.
Right. You said recently of that something is only mirroring something inside of us that is like the issue inside to work on. So
yeah.
How is what then I'm seeing reflected an opportunity to go within and work on that within?
Yeah.
And as we know, as we do the work in the inner world, the outer world must change.
Mm-hmm. And here's the thing, every relationship is different, and there's no way even for us in this conversation to have any kind of sweeping statement of, well, no matter how bad it is, you better stay and work through it and whatever, because that's your wound. You know, it's like every relationship has its own course, but we have to know that every relationship is purposeful. And if you have attracted it, then you attracted it from the level of vibration that you are living in that moment. So it feels often like we want to say, you know, this person isn't the right fit for me anymore. But the only way we can really know that is if we've changed our vibrational frequency, mm-hmm. our electromagnetic mm-hmm. signature, to say, oh, now I have moved away from this because now I'm vibrating. It's almost like music. You know, when we attract a person in our lives, there is some sort of harmony in that music we're creating together.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if our notes change, it might create dissonance that no longer works. But we can't say the other person's job is to change
yes.
in order for this to work or not work.
Our job then is to become to work on our own music, right?
Mm.
And no one ever knows how long any relationship's going to last. Some come into our lives for 2 weeks, 2 years, 20 years.
Mm.
They all have their natural course. And I always think they stay as long as they need to stay for the work to be done.
Yes.
Right? And some are lifelong beautiful lessons, and some can happen very quickly.
And I always think that if you're really dedicated to your purpose on this planet, then you are going to be in a deep relationship. Your deepest relationship is with your sacred wound.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter which partner you attract. You'll say, okay, it's obviously not this person. The next person you attract will be the exact same version of that sacred wound. And so we'll continue to be in a relationship with the same wound, even if we switch partners.
That's great.
Until we really have a deep relationship with the wound itself. Until we really say, like, what are you here to teach me? What am I here to understand about you through the contrast that you create in my life? And how are you actually the keys to my kingdom of my purpose on this planet?
That's it. And that's what's really exciting, is that the keys to our kingdom are inside of that wound.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's actually an invitation to go deeper into it, because inside of it is our transcendence.
And I always think anytime we're so busy making our partner or the wound mm-hmm. wrong, it's like, aren't what we really doing is making ourselves wrong?
Ooh.
And so it's always that projection screen, right? So we talk about in Samkhya philosophy about your spirit, your inner soul is your Purusha. And everything else in the outer world is prakriti. That's the world of the form. Now, in between sort of the world of the form, like our physical bodies and the physical body of the person we attract and yeah. being in a kitchen and all those things, between that world and the world of our spirit, there's this screen or window called the citta. Mm-hmm. And the citta is sort of how we, our spirit gets sort of reflected out into this world. Now, what happens is when we get very deeply wounded, it's like there's mud on the citta, right? So when we're kids and a teacher says, you know, you're not good enough, or a parent says, you know, why would you ever want to do that? You shouldn't do that. Don't do this. Don't do that. This is wrong about you. It's like it throws mud onto that. So then what the philosophy says is that once you're kind of muddy in your citta, you can no longer reflect the inner light that you are. You can only project the mud that you are.
Mm.
And it's not even our mud. It's just been inherited. It's just conditioning. Now, if we want to look at our romantic partner and make them wrong all day, we can, because they're projecting their mud too.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing. So we can look at them and say, all I see about you is mud. And here's all the reasons that mud is wrong. And here's all the reasons you're not living your true self. And here's all the reasons, you know, I don't like you. We can absolutely do that. And we're right. But the bottom line is it's our choice to say, I know the light, or I know the mud.
Yeah. And, you know, A Course in Miracles will always say that looking, that really, the seeing that in another person is like the definition of putting yourself in hell.
That's it.
Right?
And also, if that's all you're training your eyes to see, that's all you're going to be able to see about yourself as well.
Right.
You will identify yourself as the mud and be so dissatisfied and upset about that, that you'll then have to look out in your romantic partner and say, you're just like me.
Mm-hmm.
You're bad too. You're flawed too. So instead of looking for any kind of corrective energy, you're looking for confirmation of the wrongness.
Right. Well, it's like, A Course in Miracles also says that our salvation is seeing our partner as innocent. And then that is what allows us to birth something new.
Mm.
And you remember yesterday you and I were talking about Zenata, with Zenata over dinner, and we were talking about the biggest gift that we can give someone
yeah.
is seeing the truth of their being.
Yeah.
And say, okay, you can totally be in your smallness right now. I know the truth of you. I know
yes.
you're a giant.
Yes.
Right? And so if our eyes have the ability to create whatever it is that we look at.
Yes.
When we look at our romantic partner and be like, I know who you are.
Yeah.
I know that you're divine. I know that you're shot through with eternity. And I know that you came here to be my guru.
Mm.
Thank you for playing.
Mm.
Right? And so all of a sudden, if you start to see someone as a spiritual master,
mm.
Then that changes how you interact with them. Right? As opposed to if you are coming from the place of even with the things that they struggle with, right? I see that there's that, but what's really behind that is
yes.
the spiritual master. So I'm going to continue to look for that.
Yes.
And it doesn't mean ever that we need to allow the let me get the words out. It doesn't mean that the form of the relationship needs to look the way that our ego thinks it needs to look.
Yes.
So you can say, I know the truth of who you are. I know that you're a spiritual master. And I know that the form of this right now wants to shift this way, or
yes.
wants to look that way, or wants this. But the connection will always be love. And then I'll let spirit dictate the form.
And it's so amazing, because oftentimes, the only thing we're actually ever blaming our partner for is when we feel an absence of love. But the truth is only our form and it can experience that. Our spirit is love. we can never be without what we are.
Ooh.
And so the truth of our being is that we are love. And so the only time we ever feel an absence of love is when we actually are feeling disconnected from ourselves. And I think the fastest way we feel disconnected from ourselves is when we withhold ourselves from the world.
Ooh.
So if we are love and we're feeling an absence of love, it's not for us to say to our partner, I feel absent from love. How are you going to fix it and change it? Oh, I feel absent of love. Where am I not bringing myself? Where have I hidden? Where have I stopped showing up? Where am I hiding myself from myself? Where am I using love as collateral? Where am I saying, if you do this, then I'll give my love back? If you change, then I'll give my love back. If you become worthy. And then isn't that the message that many of us received that was the implanting of our sacred wounds? If you're just good enough, then you'll have my love. If you just act this way, then you'll have my love. If you just, you know, eat all your dinner, then you'll have my love, right? Whatever that's how the sacred wound got implanted in us. So the healing, the uprooting of it is only ever going to come from us saying, let me be the presence of love no matter what. Let me not withhold. Let me not run away. Let me not ever believe in the idea that I can be without it. And if I am promising myself that I will never be without it, then that means anyone in my presence is never without it either.
That's right. And how beautiful to know that you always are love and that you always are loved. And at every moment, there's an opportunity to experience love moving through you.
Mm.
From the moment that you like wake up in the morning and you see the sky, to every interaction you have all day, you get to be the source of abundant love. And as you give it out, so too you receive.
And it's so beautiful to then start living your life as that fact finding mission. Like, if I'm going to be so busy collecting evidence, I'm just going to collect evidence for everywhere love is. Right? So it's even when Kristen and I were sitting this morning at this beautiful little coffee shop writing in our journals, and every time someone walked in and out of the door would just bang, 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 bang. And it kind of got to the point where we were like, wow, we're going to buy them a door stopper because, wow, that's a lot of banging. But then it gave the opportunity to notice the one little boy who walked in and gently closed the door. Right? It's like, oh, there was love. There it is. You know? Or the way someone would prepare a coffee and like bring it over to the table so you didn't have to get up and get it. Oh, there's love again. So all of a sudden, it can be our sort of compass of saying, I'm just going to attune myself to wherever love is. And if I'm in a place in my life where I'm not seeing love anywhere, then it's only because I'm not bringing love anywhere. And so I can be really, really busy looking at my partner wanting them to be more of something, but ultimately until I become more of the thing I want, then there's no example that anyone can even be led towards.
Yeah. And isn't it wonderful to have the reflection of this is what I'm this is what I want, or this is what I'm desiring, so this is what I get to become. Right? So without that reflection, we wouldn't even know what our soul is calling to bring forward.
Something I've been studying a lot this summer too is happiness and looking at happiness and how oftentimes we mistake happiness for relief. And I think we oftentimes will get with our romantic partners, especially if we've been together for a long time, where they might say the most beautiful thing like, I love you. And you don't feel happy, you just feel relieved. You feel relieved that they love you, you know? Or they might do something lovely for you and you don't feel grateful. You feel expectant. Well, of course, I expect you to do that for me because you're my partner, right? And so, but then all of a sudden, if they start treating you in a way that you don't approve of or you don't like, then you have all the feelings, right? You have anger, you have rage, you have sadness, you have... So all of a sudden, the most connected time you have in your whole relationship is when you're in strife.
Oh, that's interesting.
And so I think it's interesting to look at if we're not activating truly being loving, truly looking in your eyes, I'm so lucky I get to love you today. If we're not activating that on that emotional end of the spectrum, then there's only one place the emotions can activate. And if they're in our lives to call up inside of us love, then it's going to activate the emotions wherever it can.
You know, the image that just dropped in is, if there is one source of love in the world, and it is the only thing that is, it's the only thing that's ever broadcasting is love, and all we are vessels for that love to come into the world, is, so whenever you love me, I'm experiencing the love of the entire universe through you. So you become this vessel of, like, God's love or the goddess's love coming through you to me. And can I receive what a precious gift that is?
Can we really receive it?
Can we really receive it? So that when our partner comes to us and says, I love you, that is the love of the entire world coming through them to us. And how beautiful that they open up enough for that to come through. Right?
Oh, and it's so fascinating because I think so often we let ourselves be disactivated by the positive emotions because we sort of have this fear of, like, well, the more joy I feel, then the bigger the fall, right? Like, the more I'm expectant of something, the more disappointed I could be, the more I put my heart into something, especially as an actor or an artist, like, the more I put my heart into this audition, the more disappointed I'll be if it doesn't come true. But at the end of the day, there's never, ever, ever been a single time when we can sort of, like, shut off one thing and not another. It's like we're either shut down or we're opened up. And if with our romantic partners, if we're so scared that they're going to hurt us, that we shut ourselves down to receiving the love and receiving this present moment. And I think many times with romantic partners, the number one cause of shutdown is it feels so good and I'm so scared it's going to go away.
Yes. And it can't go away because it's the only thing there is. In partnership, either person can step into illusion at any time, right? Illusion, as we say, it'll happen the moment you walk out of your door. It's because you're gonna step into it. But the bigger and more powerful force is love, and love is the only thing that is real. So it will dissolve the illusion. And so the great thing is when you know if you feel your partner step into illusion, you know that it's only momentary and it will dissolve. And you know for yourself that when you step into illusion, it is only momentary and it will dissolve. Right before I did this podcast, I got a message from a creative collaborator of mine, and I turned to Natalie and I said, oh, I need to call this person and just tell them everything's okay. Don't worry, everything's okay. And it's interesting, and then as soon as I did, the person's like, that's all I needed to hear. The funny thing is in romantic partnership, our partners don't know, I'm having a moment where I just need to call you and say, is everything going to be okay?
Yeah.
Right? We just, like, don't have the bravery to do it when we get scared.
Yeah.
So instead of being vulnerable enough and saying, I'm just having a moment and I need you to tell me everything's going to be okay,
yeah,
we sometimes go and create some stories. Because we just are scared.
We're just scared. We're the scaredest little babies.
So the beautiful thing is to know all there is love. Love can't go away. Love is eternal. And even if form may change, that love never changes. And if we can surrender needing to control the form, we always end up in the form that is of the most service to everyone involved.
And I think that what would cause more anxiety than anything is being with that perfect partner who never messed up, who never did anything wrong, who did everything the way we wanted them to. Because then all of a sudden, what does that make us feel all the time? Unworthy.
Ooh.
Not lovable. Not enough. How can I live up to this, right? So it's almost this beautiful opportunity when our partner is in their stuff. To say, oh, me too. Oh, we both understand pain. Oh, we're both really wounded. Oh, we're both doing our best. Oh, we both mess it up sometimes. Oh, I see how you're being so unreasonable and you don't want to listen right now. Where in my life do I do that? Oh, wow, I don't listen to my body all the time when it says, you know, stop eating and I keep going or whatever the situation is. Oh, I understand that. Oh, there's an opportunity for empathy here. Oh, there's an opportunity to love myself as same as you. And I truly, being in this world today, we have to stop creating stories of separatism. And the number one thing we do to our partners is say, I'm better than you, you're worse than me, I'm different than you, you might do this, I do this. We create this distinction as opposed to saying we are on a team and this team is called us trying to figure out life together.
Yeah, that's right.
And sometimes you're going to be, you know, pitching the ball in and you're going to throw a whole bunch of balls and walk a bunch of people. And me as your teammate might be like, oh man, we're losing this ball game. But man, I mean, there's going to be times when I do that too. And then there's going to be times when you're going to go up there and throw a strike and I'm going to be your biggest cheerleader. We have to know that it's a long game that we're playing. And we can't punish each other for having moments of humanness.
That's right. We're all so brave for playing.
Yeah, we're all so brave for playing. What it takes to show up and say, I'm going to be on a team with you.
I'm going to be on a team. And I believe in you, and I believe in you as my teammate. I see who you are, and I see your strength, and I see how beautiful you are, and I see the things in you that show me what is possible in the world.
Will you tell the story that you were telling me the other day in the car about the woman who was married to this guy, and she was really into the healthy eating? And
oh, yes! Yeah. That's so funny. I got a hit about that earlier on this podcast. Yeah. So Rich Roll is, if you don't know him, he is this incredible athlete, and he has a podcast called the Rich Roll Podcast. I highly suggest it. And he often has his wife on the podcast, and she is this amazing vegan chef. She makes vegan cheese. Of course she does. So she was talking about in one of their podcasts about how at the early on in their marriage, there was about 7 or 8 years where he was incredibly unhealthy. Like, he was a lawyer, he was overweight, he wouldn't work out, he was, like, fast food, all the best stuff, and it was really affecting his ability to, like, be present with their children. Like, she just saw him in depression, she saw all the toxic stuff he was putting in his body, and she saw how that made him terribly unhappy and not living his dharma. And she had healed herself through Ayurveda many years prior and knew that what you put into your mouth changes your whole chemistry, changes your life, gives you prana. And she had been on a deep spiritual journey and was really wrestling with wanting to change her partner. Mm. And she said she was like, she would like have conversations with him or like leave the book or check out this article or really had a desire for him to discover a way that she thought would help his life be better.
Yeah.
And she said it was really tough for her because she knew that was like her dharma on the planet, right? Yeah. Her dharma on the planet was to heal people through food, and here's her husband who won't even listen to her. Mm-hmm. And she said in studying with her guru encouraged her to let go of the need of him needing to change. Mm-hmm. And so she really worked on it, and she meditated on it, and she continued to let go and surrender that part of letting him have his own journey and have his own way and his own path. And of course, the kind of brilliant ritual story is 7 or 8 years into this process, one day he has this kind of like Satori moment where he's like, oh, I need to change. Mm-hmm. And it had nothing to do with her. Mm-hmm. It had nothing to do with like any like book that she left out. He just woke up one day and was like, I want to change the way I eat. Mm-hmm. And the great story about him is he totally went on to change the way he ate and became plant-powered, and then eventually one day was running and found out he could run and not stop. And he went on to do these Ultraman challenges, which were 5 triathlons in 5 days, and became this extreme athlete all through him changing the way he ate. Mm-hmm. But she talks about in the beginning she had to surrender her need for him to change and to change on her timetable.
Yeah, and I think so often we want to obsess with our partners being different so we get the validation of saying they're different because of me. They loved me so much that they were different. So really it's completely self-serving when we are looking at the flaws in the partner and trying to have something to do with that being different. Yeah. And if really we want to activate our partners into their wholeness, then all we want to do is say, you got this, whatever it looks like for you, whatever your path is, let me not control your journey. Let me not control the timetable. Let me not control that it has to look the way I think it should. Mm-hmm. Let me not try to control that I know what's best for your life.
That's it.
Let me trust you and love you and empower you enough to say, whatever your journey is, I'm just here. I'm here to support you because I'm busy over here doing my own journey.
That's right. And there's a saying that Sarah, our friend Sarah Carter, loves to say is your path is your way. Mm. So if we can, one of the most powerful things we can do for our partner is trust them that their path is their way. And that we, not being inside their connection to the divine, have no idea how that looks and have no idea how it's best crafted.
Yeah.
And so the most powerful thing we can do is stay out of their lane.
Yeah.
And stay in our own lane and honor their lane. And
yes.
say, I see it as beautiful.
Yes.
I see your process is beautiful. I see your the way that you're guided. I know that you're guided by spirit.
Yes.
I know that you're connected to that channel. I trust you get what you're supposed to get when you're supposed to get it. And so instead of being over there, let me be over here and listen to my own channel and how the communication that I'm getting.
There's this brilliant thing. Some of you know my dad, one of his dharmas on this planet is being a dog trainer. And my dad, when he would train dogs when I was growing up, he would always talk to me about something called fear-aggressive animals. And a fear-aggressive animal is an animal that when they get into fear, they bite. They lash out. And oftentimes I think we feel that with our partners. We just see the aggression or the meanness or whatever. But it's really coming from a place of such fear. And how Dad would like rehabilitate fear-aggressive dogs is he would put them in situations where normally they would be in fear and have them have really positive experiences in that situation. And it would take some time, but over time, as the animal would say, well, normally this situation makes me really afraid, but the last 5 or 6 times I was in this situation, there was nothing to be afraid of.
Mm.
The aggression melted away, and their truest essence and joy and fun and playfulness would just be the only thing that would be there. It would be like a totally different animal. So it's almost like when we give our partners permission to say, I know you're my guru, and I know that, you know, whatever your process is, it's okay, and I'm just going to be safe for you. I'm just going to keep showing you that I'm safe, and you don't have to be afraid that I'm going to retaliate, that I'm going to make you wrong, that I'm going to try to control you. I'm just going to be safe for you. And then we get to see a transformation that happens on their own accord because we've just presented a space of love.
Yes. That everything grows in the presence of love.
Mm.
And love has no demands.
No
right?
demands.
What's this one about the sun? The sun?
Oh, the sun. Like it's like something that the sun rises every day and it doesn't...
And it never demands
it
anything.
It never demands even a thank you.
Yeah,
it just does what it does because it loves to shine.
You know, and I was thinking, we were talking the other day, I believe it was on our last podcast, about how we'll distract ourselves from our soul, right? And from what our soul's calling is and our soul's dharma and our soul's work. And one of the easiest distractions and addictions can be in wanting to control your partner or control who they are or how they are.
Yeah.
And it just can... It's such an easy thing for the ego to use to get you out of...
Our own dharma. Well, because aren't the stakes so much lower over there? I can
right.
use them as an experiment.
Yeah.
It doesn't cost me anything.
That's right.
My dharma is still intact, and I can still, you know, I can make the mistakes over there with them. And then, you know, but that's not what we're here for.
That's right.
We're just here to love.
We're just here to be love.
We are love. We give love. We offer love. And when we find ourselves in relationships where it feels like the form needs to change, then we honor that as a loving exchange as well.
That's right.
And nothing has to be done outside of love. Even a divorce or a separation or a breakup, all of it can be done through the space of, I just love you so much, I want you to live the best life, and it doesn't feel like it's over here.
Well, and isn't that real love, right? Is saying, I love you so much, I want you to live the best life, I want you to have all your dreams, I want every day to be a party for you, I love you so much, do that, and I'm going to do that.
Mm.
And then when we get together, we get to be in love.
Yeah.
And that's the only game in town.
It's the only game in town.
And so in becoming that, what's going on is it's the process of becoming enlightened. It's the process of becoming the very embodiment of love.
Yeah.
And so if your partnership can take you to the place where you melt off everything except for being the presence of love and being the presence who wants everyone in the world to live their best life and to follow their innate path,
Well, then that's a guru.
That's a guru.
That's a guru.
That's a guru.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Boo.
Thank you, Boo, for being my guru. oh, how much fun is that?
I know. Well, we hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Woo!
I wish we were singing a gospel song to close, but I think it's better that we don't.
I woke up this morning singing, God is so good.
Well, if you love this podcast, share it with your guru or your boo. Or your boohoo is your guru, or whoever you feel. You can find us on our cute new website, www.thecreateseries.com. And if you join our mailing list, you will also receive a really cool downloadable morning practice guide that we wrote for you that we think is fun. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at The Create Playgroup. And you can find us on Facebook at The Create Community page. And we're teaching in New York. Basically from September through December. We'll be there Sunday nights at the Actors Green Room. So please come and meet us and hang out with us. And we just love you so much. And you're our gurus.
Oh, thanks for being our gurus, booze.
All right. Woo! See you soon.
If you want to know about the Create Workshop Series, you can go to
www.thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to know more about us, you can go to kristenhenge.com or
natalieroy.com.
And if you want to come to Create, you can go to
the Actors Green Room in New York City. And it is Sunday nights from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. and Tuesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
And their website is www.theactorsgreenroom.com. And you can buy Create on demand if you don't live in New York City.
Woohoo!